Welcome back to Smell You Later, your favorite podcast, period.
Not you asking how do we normally start the show. We are damn near 5 years into this. We don't know how to open the goddamn show. We keep it fresh.
We keep it fresh. It's. I don't want to say it's like improv, but it's not that.
Oh my God. It's not that. Yeah. Believe me, please.
It's not that. We're not yes anding. We're no budding.
Sometimes we are yes anding, if you know what I mean. Yeah. But welcome back to Smell You Later.
Your favorite weekly bi-weekly podcast.
Weekly, unless one of us is traveling or sick, which was the case.
It's always
last
one or the other. Always it one is. Or the other. God.
I'd rather be traveling than under the weather, though.
I would love to be traveling.
I'm traveling this weekend.
Oh my God, where are you going?
Home, bitch. I can't wait. Get me out of this wretched, horrid city. Oh, God, no. I had some things move around. I've been trying to get home all summer, which I'm sure sounds like a lie to my parents, but I have been. And I had some things move around at work. And I just last Monday, I saw this weekend open up, or Friday, I didn't have any life or death meetings as I do every fucking day. And I was like, I'm taking the day off. And
as you should. I know. As you deserve.
So, I'm so excited. Oh,
nice. Yeah. I feel like after I got back from LA, 2 weeks ago at this point? Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm really happy to be going home, mm-hmm. especially after a week-long trip. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, this time, not that I'm oh, I want to live in LA, I love LA, but I was just oh, this fucking place again. Also, it was raining. LA was beautiful and sunny every day. Yeah. And then I come back, it's fucking raining and humid. I'm like, this bullshit again.
I'm back.
Yeah. I think after that, my body was just oh, okay, we're going to get sick now because you just went on a trip. 50-50. After going on a trip, every time I come home, I get sick. I don't know what it is. I think it's just, and I masked up too.
Because
last time I didn't mask up, it was a short flight to Miami and I was that'll be fine. And then I got sick afterwards. So this time I was I am masking up.
I still mask up on flights. You don't catch me slipping.
Yeah. Even after Miami's is literally a 2-hour flight from New York. But I was even midway through, I was really probably should have brought a mask. I'm my ears are just pricked to every time someone open mouth coughs, which is surprisingly often on a plane. And I'm people.
Oh my God.
People, please.
It's can you and your black lung find another seat?
Yeah.
Respectfully.
I'm that woman who's just glaring in the direction of the cough.
People have no couth. Not like us, Sable.
Yeah. We are the most couthed podcast on the airwaves. I feel we've been very blessed to receive a lot of very cool discovery kits from brands we've been excited about. And of course, as soon as I get them, my sinuses are no, thank you.
I know. You got some shit to smell, girl.
I know. And it's funny. The other week, we had the distinct pleasure of visiting with Carlos Huber of Arkeist. We got to go to his home, his gorgeous Architectural Digest apartment in the West Village, and sniff his new collection. And the nose was working that day.
Mm-hmm. And thank God.
It was working hard.
Yeah.
And those were the last things I smelled in full spectrum HD.
Man, I'm so happy that we got to go to his place because I love beautiful homes. But we've had him on the show before and it was a great episode. But talking to him one-on-one about not only his collection, but perfume in general and the marketing and the industry of it. He's, I don't know. I don't even want to say no bullshit. He's just, he doesn't talk to you like a founder. You know what I mean? Which I love. And I'm
exactly.
You talk your shit, Carl. Yeah, exactly.
He's a person. I forgot that he also does scent development for other brands.
Oh, yeah.
And he
Vacation,
had
Charlie.
Yeah, Vacation, Charlie, Matthews Inc. The underwear. Charlie. Oh, Charlie. Sorry.
Yeah. Charlie, what do you think?
Got it. And then there was a newer one, Bianco Profumo. Bianco Profumo. It's an Italian-American father and son duo from Chicago here to make you smell fucking terrific. That's their bio. I love that. But he had two of their scents on the table, one of which I really liked. It was...
I was fuck that other one.
Cherry Leather. I really liked that.
That was a very you fragrance.
It was very me fragrance. And then there was... The other one was Neroli Pomodoro, which is really cool as well. But I had never seen them before. And then he was like, oh yeah, I helped develop their scents. And I was like, damn.
Yeah. So I will say, though, what was that one? The Grove one. In from the Grove? Raised in the Grove?
By the Grove. Sea by the Grove. Something by the Grove.
A Grove by the Sea.
A Grove by the Sea. Okay, that's my dyslexia
coming
out.
I know. So A Grove by the Sea came out this year along with...
Versailles Rococo.
Yes, thank you.
A Rococo Versailles.
Imagine knowing what we're talking about.
I know.
He started walking us through A Grove by the Sea, and I was... Sounds pretty not for me. When I tell you that got me together, I am obsessed with it. And it sounds like me, Buzz, in the kitchen, just throwing things in a pan. It has olive, salt, rosemary, thyme, all my fucking favorite things. It's got some fig in there. Oh my God. It really blew my mind.
That
it's
was
so
a good,
good.
One.
I that need to actually wear that and talk about it instead of just like riffing, but it's so good.
I remember it was tiny. It was very like evergreen, but in this like oceanic mineral salty way. There was like cobblestone in there. It was a whole,
really
story.
Like, it was really like cinematic, I felt.
Yeah, and rosemary thyme.
A Grove by the Sea, I was like, okay, like I know what this is going to be. And then I smelled it and I was wrong. It is so good. Anyway, shout out to Carlo. Invite us over again. His dog was obsessed with me.
His dog is so cute.
So cute.
Chorizo.
Shout out to dogs.
Yeah. I forget if we're allowed to talk about the third.
I don't think we are.
Okay. Never mind then. I said nothing. But yeah, I had a really good smell day and then it was a downhill slope from there. But this podcast / my life is sponsored by Sinupret. Sinupret? Whatever German herbal tablets that my boyfriend gave me when he came back from tour in Europe and it magically worked. Yeah, so I'm back on my Sinupret protocol.
I love that you're taking those like horse tranquilizers out of cold medicine. Wait, pause. I keep meaning to ask you, have you heard of the fragrance brand? I'm going to botch the name. Denam, lowercase d apostrophe capitalized A-N-A-M, Denam.
I think so, but it rings a little bell.
They are.
I feel like if I saw them, I might.
Maybe. I think they're pretty small. They are a brand inspired. Let me not get this wrong. Okay, I'm not asking you this because you're Asian, but it says, welcome to Denam, the We Handcraft fragrances that celebrate Asian cultures. I should have really thought
Wait,
about my way into this.
Is this the Vietnamese one? Yes. I have heard of them.
They sent me...
I feel like I followed them.
I followed them too. But they sent me a discovery kit. I'm really excited to go through it. I'm working my way through a billion things right now.
I want that discovery kit.
Ask them. I'll send you their email. They have a Vietnamese coffee one, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah,
they have a pho one. They have a bunch. Right?
Yeah, they had one. They had ones that were like very like food inspired from like Vietnamese cuisine. And I was very intrigued by that. And I think also Arbel Sicardi either included one of their scents or interviewed the founder for their perfume pages project. So I was like, okay, they're making the rounds. They're getting to the perfume girlies. Let's not be the last ones out. But yeah, I had no idea how to contact them.
Nope, never mind. Anyway.
But yeah, do you feel like there's a lot more? There's just so many like indie fragrance brands out there that I want to check out. And it's very overwhelming because I'm like, I want to smell all of you, but there's so many of you. So I have to face myself.
It's funny. I do feel like it always comes in waves or maybe
it comes in waves for sure.
You know what I mean? Like last month I was like, nothing new has come out. And now I'm like drowning in like actually cool indie shit that I'm really excited about, not just perfume. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Pairfat sent us a bunch of samples.
I'm so excited about those.
So I received them on the day that my sinuses were like diminishing to like 30%. So I couldn't really smell them all. But what I did smell, I really liked.
Nice. Okay. Work.
They had one called Bread and Roses that I was into.
Okay.
Because it was giving, and again, I say this to you at my like 30% smell ability. Mm. It wasn't like super rosy, but it was giving like vaguely floral pastry. Mm. So I was like, ooh, can't wait till I can smell again. I can smell this.
Yeah. I love that.
But yeah, I had seen their bottles around just like, again, like on Instagram. I liked how they had those cool machine labels. I think they looked really like punk, which is cool.
I hate them. But I'm excited for the fragrance. But
it's not you. It's very me. It's not you.
It's not me. I'm like, give me some glamour. My God.
I know. You like a finish.
I do. I like a little polish, girl.
Yeah. I love scrappy DIY. Some of them. I like that one. Anyway, excited to smell them. They sent us each a kit. So yours is at my house.
Guess I'm moving in.
Yeah.
Should I do what you smell like today?
I'll ask you. And then you can ask me and I'll.
Okay.
Einan, what do you smell like today?
So I am working my way through the discovery kit that Mind Games was nice enough to send me. Nice. I know that we know that I'm a pretty big fan of the brand, and I'm convinced that, and I do say this with so much love, that no one else knows about them. But there was one. So the second collection is called the Soulmates Collection.
Right.
And I knew what I was talking about.
I remember he told us that.
Yeah. And
podcast.
Yeah, he did. Okay. So the thing about Mind Games that I think is cool, but I also think is a miss, is that they have on the front of the bottle, they have the name of the scent, and then they have two of the standout notes to introduce you to the scent and give you a little bit of a preview of what you're going to be smelling, which I think is great, but I often think it sells the fragrance short because they are so complex. I think I am finding the Soulmates collection a little bit more literal than the original Artisan collection, not in a good or bad way. But but again, I'm really enjoying getting to know this collection or whatever. Anyway, I'm wearing Sissa, S-I-S-A. And those two standout notes are sesame and labdanum. And the sesame really stuck out to me because I was sort of like, what do you mean? And I put it on and went about my day, and I was struck by how much I liked it. I didn't know what to expect from a sesame note, and it wasn't, this is very much more aligned with all that shit I like, but it was warm and sweet and round and enveloping and comforting. And I finally had to look up like what was going on. And it is essentially a vanilla fragrance. Yes. Depending on what copy you read, it's a little more to the point. But the build of it is umbrette seed, sesame seed oil, and coumarin. The middle is milk accord, roasted tonka bean, and jasmine sambac. And then the dry down is cistus labdanum, vanilla Madagascar, and musk. There are many more, I will say, fragrances in the collection that have a lot more edge or a more unique perspective. This one is a little familiar. I'm not using it as a pejorative. It's just like, okay, like, sure. But goddamn, it's really good. It's just the warm, sweet, milkiness really comes out. And I think the sesaminess adds a little bit of just nutty chewiness to it. It's really, I love it. It's great. There's a lot in this collection that I really like, but this one, I think I like it in spite of myself because it is exactly up my alley. Have I smelled it before? Perhaps. Did I like it then? Yes. Do I like it now? Yes. I don't know. Sissa to me is, I've just been enjoying it. I don't think it's the standout, and I don't think it's the most interesting or confronting scent in the collection, but I do think it's really nice. So that's what I got on.
Wait, so how many fragrances are in the new collection?
10.
Wow.
Yeah. And there were 10 in the last one.
How many custom caps do you have?
And just dropping 10 at a time, I'm like,
so crazy to me.
Chill out. Listen, though, they're all really good. Are they all directly on my alley? No, of course not. But that's not the point. Yeah, I don't know.
They need their own boutique where they can like,
they really do.
Give everything the space and presentation that it needs. Cause I feel
completely.
Like, I guess the same thing you get at like the perfume counter, but that's very overwhelming. 10.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of brick and mortars out there right now for fragrance, and couldn't be me, but Mama, the overhead. But yeah, I think it would be a really strong idea. So hire us, Mind Games. Sable, what do you smell like today?
So I don't entirely know what I smell like today. However, as an outfit repeater, I did wear this t-shirt yesterday because I didn't do anything yesterday. So I was like, I didn't sweat. I don't know why. If I didn't sweat or I didn't go anywhere, I'm like, I haven't soiled my clothes. I can just wear them again. I don't care. Also, I didn't see anybody today. So who cares?
Soiled my clothes, please. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
But yesterday I sprayed on, God, kill me now, Victoria's Secret Bare Magnolia. I can't remember if I talked about this before in the pod. It's the, like, third flanker.
What was the first one? With the first Bare flanker?
There is Bare Rose, and now there is Bare Magnolia.
I thought it was Bare Rose. Why did they just default to another?
I don't know. If they had done like Bare Musk, I guess Bare Musk would be redundant. Or Bare Vanilla. Yeah. I feel like Bare Vanilla would have been a hit. But they went with Magnolia, so okay. I think I do the Magnolia better than the Rose, just because I prefer a white floral to a rose. Okay, I'll be honest, it smells like the original with a teeny little bit more hint of a sparkling white floral, which again, pleasant. It's a very pleasant, musky, transparent, airy. I don't know what the scent profile is officially called. There might not be one, but it reminds me so much of those like early 2000 girly, like powder poof scents. Oh. Remember when like Benefit had a powder poof that like it was like filled with shimmer, body shimmer, and you would was scented body shimmer and you would poof it on yourself and that had a scent, and this is what that smells like to me.
Oh my God, funny.
So it's like floral in this like sparkling powdery way, which sounds contradictory, but I promise you it's very specific. An effervescent musk, if you will. And it's pleasant and it smells clean. So I felt like if I'm going to wear a shirt like a second time, I'm like, let me spray something on that kind of smells like fancy laundry detergent.
I like that strategy then.
Yeah. So like when I run out to drop something in the post office, I don't smell rank and I don't know because I can't smell.
Fair.
I tend to like overspray on days I can't smell because I'm like, you never know.
Just out of hope.
Out of hope. Yeah. I'm like, you
you're manifesting your sense of smell back.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I love
pretty much. We're going to get to the bottom of it. I don't know.
We will.
I've what is the word? Enlisted the help of a functional medicine practitioner. And every time I see that monthly goddamn $199 charge on my credit card, I'm like, didn't heal me this month.
That's affordable though for a
functional medicine. It was the most affordable option because it's like a monthly charge versus I spoke to a couple. It was like the cheapest one was $1,200 for the initial consultation and blood work and then talking about the blood work. Yeah. I was like, let me draw it out for as many months it takes to hit $1,200 and do as many tests as they can order for me.
Why not?
We'll see.
I don't even know all that.
I wish I didn't have to know it. And I wish that I didn't take a food allergy test that told me I was allergic to so many things that I eat all the time, including wheat. Anyway, I'm giving it the old college try. I don't think it's helping. So now I could at least rule that out and go back to eating croissants 10 times a day.
Literally.
Yes. I gave it a shot.
You did your best.
Yeah. I did my best. I did wellness and it didn't work for me. We're going back to badness.
Wellness at the end of the world.
Speaking of wellness, I feel like our guest's brand is wellness adjacent. Would you say it's wellness adjacent? I don't know. No. I feel like no.
No, I wouldn't.
I feel like, okay, so Vintner's Daughter was like one of the first, in my experience as a beauty writer, one of the first kind of like viral luxury products, beauty products.
They were viral before viral was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. I remember reading about, everyone was raving about their like single product launch. It was the Activated Botanical Serum. It was like a very fancy face oil. Every into the gloss, violet gray, like everyone was raving about it.
Yeah.
All these fancy rich ladies. So it became very popular, very coveted. And at the time, I don't know, I did try it. It was like 2015. So my memory is a little foggy around that, but I felt very fancy using it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was not the kickoff. I think clean beauty was already on the rise at that point. Mm-hmm. It was like just starting to ramp up like pretty hard, but it was like one of the first like luxury all natural products.
Yeah. 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 You're right. They were very much about all natural. I didn't at the time. And I know it was a different climate, but wasn't really about the whole clean thing with them. It was just like super potent, super active, super natural, all that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like everything was just like botanically based, like whole fruit or whole plant raw materials.
Right.
So yeah, I guess it wasn't technically, I don't know. Whenever I hear stuff like that, I just think of wellness.
I know. My brain
wellness,
is wellness
pilled. Yeah.
Adjacent.
Wellness adjacent. I'll say that much. But yeah, it's interesting because we don't have a ton of skincare type guests on the show, but Vintner's Daughter is releasing a fragrance. And as we'll learn in the interview, it's actually their second fragrance. It's the second edition of their first fragrance, but it's coming around again. It's called Understory. It's a perfume oil. And anytime a brand, I feel like, pivots from whatever it's normally doing and releases a fragrance, I'm always like, what's all this then?
Same. I'm like, explain yourself.
Yeah.
House. What do you think of it?
I liked it. I think it smells to me like a very expensive. It did smell to me like a very expensive, very rich lady wellness resort. But I also think that's just because all those places take the scent profiles from all of these very natural botanical types of brands. So it's like this kind of cyclical thing. I feel like this is the type of scent that somebody would wear and everyone would be like, oh my God, you smell so good. What are you wearing? And they're just like, oh, that's just me in the sun. It's just right. The smell of the sun on my skin.
I think the use of it best recently, not about this, but I'm going back to something you said. It smells, and this is not far off, like an expensive body oil. You know?
Yeah. I forgot I said that.
To me, it's so green, but it's so earthy and airy and wet. It's the whole forest concept really does come through successfully. I think that people who like Costa Brazil scent would love this.
Exactly. Because, yes.
Stay with me here. I hate that Costa Brazil scent.
Get I that like shit. That scent. Oh, I know. Hate I know you hate scent. It. I know.
Hate it. Oh, but I do this a lot. And I think that like Costa Brazil, it's like that fine line of, oh, I almost like this, but I really hate it. Mm-hmm. This toes the other side of the line where it's like, I feel like I shouldn't like this, but I really do. And I like it the longer I wear it. You know what I mean? Because it does pull on me, of course, like a little sweeter.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like Costa Brazil does give me like a naturopath men's cologne a little bit.
Yeah.
Where where understory is... It's a bit more complex. It's a little more heady. Yeah, and you're right. It is sweeter.
Much, much more complex.
Yeah.
I just find it to be a much more pleasant wear, too. It doesn't feel like it was really fresh. Not in a way that you think of fresh, like a fresh fragrance. It's not that. But it feels like alive in a way that's really exciting to me.
Ooh, now I do wish they had made it into a scented body oil now. Just like, how nice would that feel? You just get out of the shower and put that on and that's your fragrance and you smell incredible.
Right.
Dang. Okay, there's an idea for you, April.
Yeah, I mean, let's jump in.
Let's get to it.
I'm April Gargiulo, and I am the founder and co-CEO of Vintner's Daughter.
April, we always like to start off our episodes asking our guests, what do you smell like today?
Oh, I smell like entrepreneur and mom and dreading Mondays and back to school.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
I love a conceptual answer for that. Yeah, that's definitely. A first.
Is that a first, really?
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
It is funny. Like sometimes a lot of people when they're like busy and they're just logging on, they're like, I'm really sweaty from running.
Oh yeah. I could probably add that too.
Yeah. And I always appreciate that candor.
Honesty is always the best policy on a podcast like ours. If anything, we're too honest. So
yeah.
Oh no. I'm like, I like you could see, I couldn't lie if I tried, like you'd be able to see me a mile away.
I have that issue as well. And it's like, I don't know if it's like a form of resting bitch face, but for me, it's just like resting skeptical face or something.
It is resting skeptical face for sure, actually. That's the best way I've ever heard it put.
Yeah. I know. I feel like a muscle twitches in my face and then the vibe shifts. And
oh my God, I love that.
I wasn't going to dive in and work our way backwards. At press time, you have just launched your first fragrance. Is that right?
So it's the second... what I'm going to call vintage
of
the first fragrance.
Got it. Okay. And it's called Understory, which I'm so curious about that name. Do you want to tell us how you got the name?
Sure.
You just said right now it's the second version. So now I'm really curious. What was the first version?
Yeah.
Tell us.
Okay. So version. Let me just start with version.
Okay.
So I use the word vintage. My background's in winemaking. And of course, in winemaking, you're working with the same grapes, the same land every year, but every year is very different because of the vintage, that growing season. Mm-hmm. And because what we've made with Understory is using all plant-based materials, there's a vintage to it. Mm-hmm. There is a growing season that goes along with it. So while the formula is exactly the same, and certainly if you experience the first, we're calling it volume or vintage, you would recognize the second, but it's not exactly the same. And that's actually something that me coming from winemaking, I love. Like I celebrate seasonal difference. That to me is exciting. So it's the same, but different, if I can say that. And it's something that we celebrate. I really love that. It's, I would say if most perfumes are cocktails versus a wine, whereas a cocktail is going to be like repeatable, right? You can make it over and over again. A wine isn't that. So I would compare it like that. And then the name is, it's interesting because I was hiking yesterday. I did this very famous trail in the Redwoods in Marin called the Dipsy Trail. And it goes from this little town in Marin all the way over to the one, to the coast. Mm-hmm. Through it, you go through these beautiful ancient redwoods. And that's where understory comes from. Understory is this liminal space. I'm not making this up. This is what the definition is this liminal space between the forest canopy and the forest ground. So mm-hmm. it's everything that's happening between. And so we use that as an inspiration point, as a jumping off point to create what we thought this magical world, this, again, this liminal space in a forest could be.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
It's also, it's really obviously reflected in the scent itself, but it's not only woodsy. I think calling it woodsy would be selling it way short, but it does smell like the ground and the greenery and the petrichor and everything.
All of it, right?
Not that I'm in forests all that frequently, but
it's not an exact replica, obviously, because there's these, I imagine these sort of violets happening and this sort of jasmine happening and these kind of wet mossy, to your point, these kind of wet mossy stones happening. Mm-hmm. And for me, I wanted to have a sense of, and I know this is weird in the scent, but I wanted to have a sense of a breeze and kind of dap sunlight. I wanted you to have this experience with understory.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I love the element of dappled sunlight.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the scent build?
Sure. Okay, so we worked with a master perfumer who went from a more synthetic, traditional to natural. She had this evolution where she has now gone to natural and really, it's a different, how do I say this? It's like a different relationship. I think mm-hmm. a lot of scent is really about an outward expression. And when you're working with kind of natural scent, it's a much more inward, more intimate, personal, I think, because it's just not as much of an announcement. I don't know if I'm making any sense right now, but yeah, it's more intimate. It's just personal because it just doesn't have that same like larger kind of, what do I want to say? Expression.
Projection.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's exactly right. So you're the writer. That's right. And so anyway, who we worked with, this is not my background. So we really thought about top notes and bass notes and heart notes. And she really, again, she created this just incredibly complex, even sophisticated, but even kind of dynamic interplay between them all that, again, just really captured this very, as to your point, this very conceptual idea that I had.
Nice.
That's fascinating. So before we go back, like all the way back, if this is the second vintage, mm-hmm. then how did we get here from the first and how does one come from the other?
So the first was I met Loretto through mutual friends. So I come from, my family makes wine in Napa. And I don't know if you know this, but wine world, scent is not encouraged. And I don't just mean perfume, scented lotions, scented shampoo, scented deodorant. It was very much thought to interfere with your appreciation of wine. And so I grew up in a household, I grew up in a community that traditional scent is not a part of it.
Wow.
Now, that said, I grew up in a community that has a deep appreciation for scent and mm-hmm. a very deep, like a very kind of refined nose for scent. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking through the world and I'm smelling bay leaves in the sunshine. I'm smelling jasmine that's just bloomed. I'm smelling orange blossoms or my nose and a glass of wine and all that's happening. And so it wasn't that scent wasn't a part of how I grew up, just the kind of traditional way people experience scent wasn't necessarily it. And making perfume is the most bizarre thing of all time. But I met Loretto through mutual friends and we started talking. And like I said, she had gone through this sort of evolution going from more traditional to where she's at now, which I guess is full circle traditional in the world of scent. And we just started talking. And what happened is the way I was approaching scent and the way she approached scent just was so resonant with like her journey. And so we just started talking about it and it developed like that. So the first vintage happened 2 years ago. She was able to source these really beautiful raw materials. And then last year, seasonality just didn't mm-hmm. allow us to source that same quality level. So we didn't do it. And then this year she said, hey, guess what? I think I can get the really high quality ingredients again. Do you want to do it? And so we said, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, that's so cool. And it's like a neat idea that if it's in season, it's the best when it's in season. So you're like not going to bother if it's not in season, like food or produce.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And again, where I come from, vintages of wine, right? There mm-hmm. are certain vintages that are hailed as better than others. In California, we're pretty lucky because it's consistent, but certainly mm-hmm. in Bordeaux is wildly up and down.
Whoa. I was just in wine country in the Santa Ynez Valley the other week, and it was my first time there. It was so hot.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
valleys are hot. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, how do people live here? It's so
hot. Did it cool down at night or not?
Oh, yeah. It did. Exactly. Like a lot.
Yeah. Well, here, this is the deal. When you're growing grapes, you want that swing in temperature. The delta in temperature is what allows the grapes to be able to have their fullest expression of their flavors. It's so you want hot days and cool nights. You want that big swing in temperature.
They had it. Good Lord.
When it comes to the vintages of the first and second fragrance, do you think that sort of, I don't want to say the untrained nose, but do you think that the layman could detect the differences between one and two? And do you think that's part of the journey?
You're describing me for the most part. I can stick my nose in a glass of wine and pick out the pieces. And so it's somewhat similar. But I think for without a doubt, you'd recognize a relationship.
Okay.
And I think there's pieces. I think the violet is a little higher in this one. I think the moss is a little rounder. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not using the right descriptors, but kind of rounder. So I think you would, but you would more than anything notice a kind of like deep familiarity.
We also describe certain scents as round. It's like,
yeah.
The texture, like the experience of it or somehow. Yeah. Like describing smells is just very out of pocket. I think you just reach for words that try to communicate your feeling.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think that's where the world is at now. But I remember growing up in the wine world, it was like very few people got to define the words that you got to use to describe wine. That's of course blown wide open now, but used to be very, if you said, I think this smells like Skittles, it'd be like, oh.
Yeah. But it's funny because I think that fragrance reflects that quite a bit right now, because one, there really is someone's going to beat my ass for saying this, but there really is no true guidebook or like vocabulary. Yes, there are the notes, fine. Yeah, but I think we're all to a point just winging it. And then Sable and I talk about a lot, like when it comes to the notes themselves, yeah, you have your vetiver and your patchouli and this and that, and whatever, but a lot more brands right now, for better or worse, are using those storytelling notes, like not far off from Skittles.
Oh,
and
right.
I do think they're just as effective, if not more sometimes, than saying a citrus or a lemon rind or something like that. Absolutely. It still gets you somewhere. It's just more fun.
Exactly. And maybe somewhere that you have an even closer identity to. Relationship is what I wanted to say. Something like, because maybe not everybody has experienced like fresh frangipani or whatever.
Right.
And everybody's had a red Skittle or whatever, M&M or whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally.
Let's really back up. If the listener isn't already initiated, do you want to give just a top line of what Vintner's Daughter is and then how we got to fragrance?
I would love to. We say Vintner's Daughter's this kind of radical way of approaching skincare, and that's approaching it from a nutritional standpoint. So my background is winemaking. I just had skin issues my whole life and cystic acne and pigmentation and all the things, and was using what I thought were the very finest products. And if I'm just being very honest, I thought, like, to me, high quality meant expensive. And I started looking at the ingredients one day with sort of a winemaker's hat on and started pulling them all apart and looking at all the ingredients. And I was really shocked at how actually low quality and inexpensive it was to make. And coming from a place that is so considerate of every step in the process, from the raw materials to the formulation processes and winemaking process, I felt like, how can I bring this to skincare? How do I make something that really is made from the finest raw materials in the world? How do I do that? How do I create a skincare that sits on that same philosophical foundation, right? Of like quality and craftsmanship and never cutting corners and all that. And so that's how Vintner's Daughter came to be. It is a skincare company that kind of shares those values. And like I said, we make nutritional skincare, and that came out of this idea of applying winemaking values. I didn't want to take shortcuts. I didn't want to cut corners. And so we don't use synthetics. We don't use process. We don't use the shortcuts that everyone else uses. So very radically, we begin with whole plants. And so it takes us about 3 weeks to make every bottle, which is about 66 times slower than industry average. And we do that so that we can capture all that beautiful nutrition from those plants. And just like food, right? When we eat whole foods, our body recognizes it, right? It's stronger, it's healthier, it's more resilient, all the things. Same with skin. So when you feed skin whole nutrients from whole plants versus what would be akin to a meal replacement bar, your skin recognizes it and can instantly put it to work more efficiently and more effectively.
Okay.
Did I even answer the question?
No, I was very thorough. Sable and I have been in the game for a while now, and Vintner's Daughter always brings me back to the real heyday of beauty really starting to pump up, like on across the industry and
social and all the stuff.
Social, exactly. Thank you, on the internet. And your activated botanical serum was one of the first, forgive me, but like truly viral products, like way before we even knew what that meant. I'm interested to know what, from being a slower brand, like you just described yourself as, what that experience taught you as a brand and how it affected your not only approach to scaling the business, but also going into fragrance now in an industry that seems like everything is viral. Right. And if it's not, it has no value.
Exactly. Okay. So when I got on, I was also talking to Sable about her book. And I think, interestingly, I think this kind of segues. So yeah, we were that, right? And I had no marketing then, and I have no marketing now. I have PR, but I don't have, like, we don't do any paid marketing. I don't have a marketing team.
Right.
And so it was a wild ride, right? It was a wild ride. And I think I was lucky to be in a place that I was coming from the winemaking world, right? Where there's so much integrity in the world that I came from. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I would ever compromise any of the values I held in terms of the quality of my raw materials, the time it would take to make something that stands the test of time. And I think that's important in winemaking. You want to make a bottle of wine that's going to age beautifully for 50 plus years. And so my version of that is I want products that aren't there for the next 2 years or the next 2 months until I introduce my next one and obsolete that one and play that sort of new and more and next and new and more and next, which is the game that has been played for a very long time. We always say, we don't want to make your next product. We want to make your last product. Mm-hmm. I want to make the products that you marry for life. Mm-hmm. And I don't have investors. Very thoughtfully, I don't have investors. I don't think that I would be able to do what I do if I had investors because they want their money back.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people got into beauty in the last 10, whatever years, very opportunistically, and were able to buy customers and just spend a lot on marketing and sell their companies in 2 or 3 years and do all the things. That is not where my values lie. Like we are not a revenue driven company. That's important, obviously, but we're skin driven. So I'm always going to make the decision around skin first. I give really long answers. I'm sorry. And then I get to the end and I'm like, did I even answer his original question? I don't know.
No, it's all like a journey, I feel like, especially with like long form discussions like this.
Well, and so this is what I was going to say segues into what you're doing, Sable, with your book, is I think that world, that sort of industrial new complex or the industrial next complex, this like new and more next, it segues into what you're talking about because it has to drive that fear and insecurity, this sort of makeover culture or glow up culture. Like it has to make that desirable so that it can sell more product into it.
Mm,
so you constantly have to dig a little hole in someone's kind of confidence. I don't mean to sound so, I hope no one's, I'm going to go destroy a generation of women. But I think to some degree, it's all sold on off of fear and insecurity and all the things.
For sure. Yeah. And especially now, you don't even have to be negative about it. I think because we're all so obsessed with self-optimization, just telling people this is the next thing that's going to get you to the next level is just so enticing.
This is what I was trying to say. It's the industrial improvement complex.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, if you're not improving yourself, you're not worthy. And not to say that that I'm perfect or what have you, but
we're all living in this. Yeah,
exactly. I thought your article and the article I read in Rolling Stone of the excerpt from your book, I thought it really held that duality really well because it's somehow both are true at the exact same time.
Yeah. I feel like beauty culture right now is so paradoxical and it's so frustrating and unsettling to hold two dueling truths, but that is what we're living. That's our life experience right now. And it's just
exactly.
It's why I feel like the polarization is what makes it so compelling and at the same time, just pernicious and
destructive, ultimately.
Yeah, destructive. That's a great word.
Not to be so dramatic about it, but
we can't be held in that liminal space for too long or else we get self-destructive. Totally.
Yeah, I have two girls, young girls, and I think because I'm their mom, they don't do this, but for sure, all their friends are at Sephora every day.
Oh, yeah.
Buying the most ridiculous stuff that their skin does not need.
Yeah.
Right.
I did that stuff too when I was a teenager. So it's this will happen for generations to come.
I guess.
They just have way more stuff now.
Somehow I feel like Bonnie Bell was a little bit different than like anti-aging.
Oh, yeah. I thought about it too, because there was all the backlash of Sephora tweens, but think about it. They're looking at 22-year-old influencers all day who are talking about preventative Botox. Mm-hmm. To them, that's the epitome of glamour. And like I grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s. We just had like magazines and movies.
Right.
There's a definite difference between Lip Smacker and Drunk Elephant. Yeah. Not that I don't envy anyone who has a teen, or I don't envy the teens in Sephora. Believe you can never pay me to go back. But
as you're telling us this whole process of how the serums get made and how the fragrances get made as well, because I remember, I think like 2015, I remember we had a desk side together, and one of the, I guess, I don't know, like hot points about your active botanical serum, they're like, it's so expensive. And it's almost like the price tag was part of the draw, as is true with lots of luxury beauty products. But now I'm like, oh, wait, you were literally growing everything in this bottle. This is a product of like agriculture.
If I take the same margins at other sort of whatever luxury skincare, active botanical serum would be $650. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
So. Right.
La Prairie can do it. I'm sure you can do it.
La Prairie sucks. It's not even. Fucking sick of them. They won't even tell anyone what's in their product. They will put editors in front of the chemist, but tell the chemist not to say anything. Anyway, back to Vintage Daughter.
No one loves a direct, strong opinion more than me. Like, I love a strong opinion.
I'm just like, why even bother? I'm super interested to know. I feel like you've answered this question a couple ways, but I would love to dig deeper into after being in skincare for so long with such a well-known, successful brand, what is the impetus then to go into fragrance?
It was this kind of chance encounter with Loretto, really. What is it, like coup de foudre? It was this like lightning striking, right? I just think it was the right time, the right place. Both of us were in like the same mindset. And listen, we make a very little, like very small amount of bottles of this, like very small. And
it's so tiny. I love it.
Well,
so
cute. That's a press sample, by the way.
I know. But so, so small. It's like almost comically small, which is fine with, I'm like, all we need to do is smell it. So I don't care.
It looks like drugs come in.
But it's so
I was just going to say, I didn't want to say it.
I'll say
the box.
Not on our family podcast.
This cute box is, I don't know. It was very thoughtful, I thought.
So we're making this very small amount. Mm-hmm. It's something that how do I say this? It was just like this like fun kind of collaboration. I don't, you know.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah. It was this fun, amazing collaboration to get to work on something creative, something I've never done before, and to learn that process and be able to apply what I know from one kind of background to another was really interesting.
That's so cool. I love hearing when people make product decisions. They're like just based on, I met someone cool and I wanted to do something cool with them.
This podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, how did you guys start doing this?
Just that. We just had an idea as two friends.
Essentially.
Right.
So really, cool.
That's it. This was nothing about Vintner's Daughter is born in a boardroom or by asking people.
Focus grouped.
No. I want to create something singular. We just completed 10 years, celebrated 10 years.
Wow.
Can you see this?
Yeah.
It's backwards, but it says 10 years down, 100 more to go. And that's what we think about. And like, this one is, this is our office. So this is whatever, but, oh, this is that Vivienne Westwood. It's so good. It says,
nice.
But then this one says not beauty as usual. And that's us.
You are the marketing team.
Yeah, literally.
I guess I am. Yeah. This and me in this backdrop.
Yeah, I'm sold.
I'm interested to know, we often ask guests on the show sort of what fragrances meant a lot to them or stuck out to them as they were growing up. You've already told us that, and you can answer this however you want, but you've already told us that personal fragrance was not a part of your life because mm-hmm. of your family's winemaking. So knowing that, I'm still going to ask you the question, but I'm even more interested to know what scents stick out at you, personal fragrance or not, in your life to this point or even younger.
I am a sucker for orange blossom, like any kind of fresh orange blossom. I'm just in. I love like warm sun hitting eucalyptus. I love that scent. I think it's just so beautiful. Bay leaves would be the same for me. Rosemary would be the same for me. There are vintages of one of our wines, G Major 7, that I can just remember so perfectly. And just all the layers of scent in it. It is this very, it was the 2014 vintage. And it was just this like really powerfully elegant vintage that had all these really like delicate top notes of lilac and rose. And then, it held this very kind of deep grounding piece that was also like dark and mysterious and brooding. I don't know. And so that vintage stands out to me. I can smell our cellar, like our aging cellar. That's like in my brain so deeply. So it's not that scent hasn't been a big part of my life.
Sure.
It has, but in a different way.
Yeah. Everyone, I feel like everyone, wherever you grow up, there's just like these inherent smells of the place you're in, whether it's like the nature or even just like the smell of your house.
Mm-hmm.
The smell of my friends' houses, I feel, when I was a kid, is like just ingrained into my memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
When my kids were away at camp this summer for a couple of weeks, and so we went and picked them up and we drove home and they were like, we can't wait to smell the house. Aww. Like, I can't smell of the house, which is,
that's so sweet.
That is,
I know,
so
isn't
sweet.
It? Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, I can never sell this house.
Both Sable and I, in different ways, grew up in, like, Sable grew up in an automotive shop and I grew up in a bike shop. And
for real?
Auto mechanic.
Where?
In Queens.
In Queens. And then in Queens too? No.
No, Rockford, Illinois.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But we both, like, have the same memory of the chemical smells and like the rubber tires. And
is that a warm, is that like a warm scent? Or warm is not the right way to word, but is that like a familiar, like a good familiar scent?
It's a good familiar scent. It's definitely a chemical scent.
Yeah.
Like it's not a healthy scent by any means, but like the smell of it just reminds me of childhood.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's like, it's not just like this and it's not as strong, but I'd liken it to the smell of gasoline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I know it's rubber and I know exactly what scent you're talking about. My home garage, I think, smells like that now.
I love that.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm interested to know, you've developed three very successful skincare products over the last 10 years, but I'm interested to know, how was developing a fragrance different than approaching skincare? And I also am curious, was the testing process different, regulatory, all that boring logistics shit is the stuff that I find really fascinating.
Because we were using natural, there was almost no regulatory and we were doing it in such a small way. There is some, don't get me wrong, but it's nothing compared to, we ship internationally. And so the EU has even more strict things. So that all was like really easy. I think for anything we develop from a skincare perspective, it like I said, this isn't about your next, this is your last, right? So I'm thinking about my skin, my daughter's skin, my mom's, I'm thinking about generations of skin who are going to be using these products, right? And so I have to create something that is just so enduring, right? And scent, I think there wasn't as much pressure on scent, I think, for me. And it is this sort of ephemeral thing. And it is this very personal thing, whereas skincare is, maybe it's personal, you like what you like, but it's not scent driven. So it's not a taste level thing.
Right.
It's very much the way we approach skincare is I don't address scent at all, which is also, of course, very funny to get into scent, but it's all about performance, and which isn't about taste. It's about performance, right? Does it work? Does it not? Versus scent, that's very much about like personal taste. I don't know. It felt like less pressure to me in some way.
That's true, because you're not trying to prove a function. You're just making something for pleasure. Yeah.
And some people are going to like it and some people aren't, right? Yeah. Like some people like red, some people don't. I don't know. But skincare was like, it's got to work ultimately. Yeah.
Yes. <It's gotta> work. Which is funny that you say you don't really care about scent, because I find that the serum itself, I don't think there's any, there's no added scent, but just like the smell of the plant oils is so fragrant in a nice way.
Like I think wild.
For scented skincare products. I know it's like a very polarizing thing. I also don't have like allergies to it, so I can enjoy it. But I find it such a nice experience to use a face oil, press it into your skin, and then just like smell it as it's soaking in.
Yeah, it's a moment, right?
Yeah.
You can't ignore, especially when you're working with naturals. I think only when you're working with naturals, you can't ignore the relationship your body has to scent in terms of its calming effects or its relaxing effects. There's different effects that scent does have on your mood, right? And so that is a component of it all.
Totally.
You've never probably tried our active treatment essence. Active treatment essence is fermented. It takes us 5 weeks to make every bottle.
Wow.
Like kombucha. Our community says it smells like it works. So,
oof.
Yeah, nice. And it's extraordinary on your skin. They also call it a facial in a bottle. So I want skincare that works, right? I'm not interested, but like scent, I'm the opposite of you. Like I smell scent. I don't take the formulation seriously.
Oh, that's me. Interesting. Oh.
It's also, if I ever see something in a clear bottle, like skincare or oil in a clear bottle, I believe you have just made marketing more important than performance. Mm. And that's what scent is. Again, this is just, if we're all here, we like big opinions. So this is just my opinion. Exactly. That if there's a sense that marketing is coming before the actual quality or performance, that I steer away.
Yeah. From. That's where the resting skeptical face comes in.
Oh yeah.
Call them out.
I probably have it too.
That's funny. Cause people love, what is it, like Biologique Recherche, the P50, and it smells like apple cider vinegar. And people love that. And it's almost known for like,
it works,
having that smell, but it works. So I don't think, as long as something works, like people are willing to put up with apparently many odors. So
Our active treatment essence is, and I use P50 for years, but our active treatment essence it's not as strongly scented, but certainly it smells like kombucha, but it works. It works.
As long as it works.
Yeah,
we're willing to forgive it.
Exactly.
That is true. That is true.
I was thinking that understory would almost smell like the active botanical serum. And it doesn't smell like exactly the same, but I feel like they're in the same world together. It's like, the same vibe.
For sure. I would not put understory on my face.
No.
And expect any big results.
So if this is like the second vintage for this drop, do you make a limited amount of bottles and then like when it's gone?
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay.
Love that.
Yeah. Last vintage, gosh, I think we released it around the same time, but it was gone before holiday season for sure.
Wow. Okay.
How many bottles were you able to make?
500, right around there. Like tiny.
Wow. Yeah. Very limited dish.
That's wild. Usually I feel some type of way about something that is so limited. You know what I mean? Because I was like, what if I really love it and want to go back to it? As if I don't have 500 bottles of fragrance at my disposal at any given time. But I think the way that you formulate the fragrance in such small batches and seasonally, and if it's not there, you don't do it. I think that it makes it special. And even if I was a consumer who did buy the first one, I think that would even drive me to buy the second one, because I would want to experience it again and experience the next vintage of it. I think that's just a really cool story, because everyone is rightfully concerned about consistency in a fragrance. I don't want to buy my favorite fragrance and have it smell way different. And people get in their feelings about reformulations, glossy AU. But I do think if it's part of the story, then you dig around it in a way that it serves everyone. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's like looking forward to something, right? It's like looking forward to, I don't know, a blackberry off the vine during summer, or I don't know, which I like. And I think there's some components of it that allow you to cherish it even more.
Totally.
Yeah.
I also feel like I've seen a lot, like obviously there's a lot more natural fragrance brands out there that clean is like their entire marketing strategy. And they say, we only use natural ingredients, but then they're producing all the time. And the thing about naturals versus synthetics is, aside from like the over-harvesting issues, stability is usually an issue. So if they're just like harvesting all the time, I'm like, is this going to go off? I don't trust that more. I would trust a product that's, we can only make this when the conditions are exactly right, versus we make this all the time and it's natural and that's good for you.
There's also, they make natural Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's good for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Very good point.
So I think there's a lot of layers in that.
But it's cool that I love the idea of like small batches of things when it's right, because then you can at least count on, okay, at least I know like the quality is there. And when I get it, it is going to be what I think it is, versus you keep rebuying the same thing and you're like, it's not the way it used to be.
I think even with our skincare, scents can modulate from season to season. And, you know, for that, again, we're not formulating around scent. We're formulating around activity. And mm-hmm. so we're able to measure that, but scent still changes. So it's whenever we have somebody who emails and says, the scent changed a little bit, I'm always like, that's how you know we're honest. Yeah. That's it. Like,
how you know it's real. You know
we are actually working with whole plants. Like, this is the deal.
I don't envy having to be the customer service representative on that.
We have the most extraordinary customer service. I always joke that they're going to like name their kids after her. Like we have extraordinary customer service. But yeah, no, people at, because especially if you're in this sort of more traditional paradigm and that we sit very firmly out of, again, not beauty as usual, to walk people through that opens their mind a little bit. And they're really like, oh, okay, thank you. This is wonderful. And yeah. There's also things that we do that I imagine that our customers don't even recognize that's a piece of their everyday. And I think this also, I loved this article. If you can't tell, this dovetails also into your article. And it's all little drops in the bucket, I know, but by the time you're however old, it's, the cut keeps getting deeper and deeper, not to be too dramatic, but we don't use words like fix or correct or even anti-aging, which again, they're just words, but they're the implication, what they imply is that you are broken, you are wrong. Mm-hmm. And again, just insanely hyperbolic is
that
a word?
Yeah, no, that's a word.
Anti-aging suggests that they don't want you to age, which obviously suggests that you are no longer alive.
Anti-aging is impossible. So I'm like, how is this allowed to be a marketing term?
It's so wild.
It's a lie. Like, how are they allowed to do that?
Yeah,
lie.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's something that no one wants to live up to.
Yeah.
No one wants to achieve that, actually.
Yeah.
But it is. And again, they're like, it's little things. It's just the accumulation of little things.
Words are important.
Agreed.
I do feel like now that it's very trendy to be radical about beauty, whether that's like transparency or resistance. And at first it's nice to see. And then a lot of times I am noticing how like there is very clever language used to swap the concept, but without really changing the practice.
Right.
Yeah.
But it still matters. And again, it as much as it frustrates me, I'm like, this is still the right direction we're going.
That's some real shit you just said, Sable.
I know. It's also like media is not a great barometer of changing culture, just because media is just so reactive to culture for the sake of clicks. So even I have to remind myself of that, even though I work in media. So I imagine like most people who are absorbing it and consuming it are just like even more burnt out and fried because they don't have the tiny inkling of insider knowledge that some of us have that, yeah, it's kind of alarmist for a reason because we need you to click on things so we can all keep our jobs.
Because you read it. Exactly. It's a snake eating its tail.
Yes,
exactly. And why my kids can't go to Sephora without having resting skeptical face.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let me just be honest, not so resting.
Good.
Active.
Very active.
Okay. I love it.
Can you tell us where we can find Understory?
On our website, vintnersdaughter.com.
Okay, it's an exclusive. We love it. And it's there until it's gone, until the next, God willing, with climate change, we have the ability to make a third vintage.
I know, exactly. I know. It's interesting. In some cases, obviously, I don't want climate change, but in some cases, it works to some growing places' advantage.
I think I had read that now more wine, like vineyards in like the Pacific Northwest are growing because it's warmer there.
Yeah.
So it's good for business, but bad for the world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Smoke them if you got them.
Yikes.
That phrase just really doesn't get used enough. And being like peppered into pretty much anything.
Yeah.
It's like, if the world's getting hotter, at least the wine's getting better.
My God, I love it. Smoke them if you got them.
We really touched on everything in that interview.
We did. Yeah. Gosh, we went places there, places I was not prepared to go.
I know, but I loved it, right?
Yeah. It's funny because you would think that I would be so used to talking about beauty culture, blah, blah, blah by now. But every fucking time I'm just like trying to reform my thoughts, trying to just like form a fucking coherent sentence about it.
Yeah, but your book it prompts the big questions. You know what I mean? It's not what's your favorite black eyeliner? It's like, how do we navigate beauty culture under patriarchy and capitalism?
Yeah.
And it's, you wrote that book. That's all you.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that to myself, but
it's been
I was like, I'm interested in this. This is something I could spend a lot of time on. And after having spent so much time on it, I was just, I'm like the spiral eyes emoji.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my brain is fully cooked, which is unfortunate because I should probably be my like my most media trained articulate about it. And I'm fucking not.
But no, you, those answers you always fire off at a moment's notice are clean. They're
good. Okay, good. Thank you. The little voice in my head is like, just write that book. Don't ask me questions.
Literally.
I just think of that Janet Jackson interview where she's like, please stop asking me questions.
Yeah.
Where am I life, sister?
Right. I feel like that was so cool. Yeah. What a unique.
Yeah.
Listen, we've heard every Fergus story at this point, and we love
them all. Oh my gosh. I really love when someone's like, I made this because my friend and I wanted to do something cool together. I love those stories. I love friendship.
Same. I love friendship.
Yeah.
Shout out to friends, man. I thought it was just really cool that there is such a seasonal arm and aspect to this.
Yeah.
I think the consumer part of me like hates that because what if my house burns down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I do. And listen, I don't give a shit about fragrances made with like intention or whatever, or like products made with intention. Like you're coming from a brand, like whatever. But it is cool that they didn't do it last year because it wasn't right.
Yeah.
Didn't fit it. And this year they did, but it might smell a little different. And that's part of the story. I think that just is a really holistic story to me.
Yeah.
Like a very 360 of this is what we offer. This is why. And you're part of the journey with us.
Yeah. I feel like we're just so used to getting anything we want whenever we want. And every brand I feel like is just scaremongered into having to be able to give the consumer what they want at all times, that no one really prioritizes what's best for the product and then what's best for the brand. Because maybe she could have made that batch when the conditions weren't optimal, and then it would have been like kind of rank. And then like, it's so much harder to get people back after a flop than it is to say like, just wait another year. This batch isn't right. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. I wasn't really quite sure. Vintner's Daughter to me has always been this opaque idea, just because it was that so into the gloss coated and the That Girl brand for so long.
Yeah, I feel like I get turned off when I see things like too hyped in these like perfect influencery tableaus. Mm-hmm. And then I forget that like on its own, it's not that. It's just made into that just because of whatever, like social media currents. But and then I'll talk to the people who made it and I'm like, oh, this is actually, it's like, you have a very cool backstory about this. Mm-hmm. It's just happened that the success you found yourself in is the type of thing that I personally find off-putting.
Right. No, I mean, I think it is also feels like such the fragrance that they made specifically and the way that they made it feels like such a natural extension of the brand. And you know, like I know that there are not many brands out here right now that will forego a release for the integrity of the product. I mean, that's
so important.
Huge.
Yeah. I'm sure it's really disappointing to have to do that, but I think it matters a lot and it definitely does a lot for the integrity of your brand and product.
Right.
I want her to come out with, wait, I think Fancy Olive Oil has already been done.
Yeah, true. Listen, if she did 3 products in 10 years, I don't think she's coming out with much.
No, so. I am really curious to try the essence now.
Same. Oh my God.
I want to smell the kombucha scent. Yeah. I feel like kombucha had a moment in skincare like a couple of years ago. I don't know what happened.
Give way to probiotics in skincare, which I hope that we're done with.
Anyway. If you like that episode, please leave us 5 stars wherever there are stars to be left. And if you didn't like it, thank you for the listen. And please do not leave any comment anywhere. Just kidding. Please leave us 5 stars regardless. You can find us at our website, smellyleader.live, where you can find our merch and you can leave us a voice message, ask us a good question there. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyleader.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.